Chapter 5, in which the fate of the missing cat is discovered. Jared and Mallory approached the goblin camp cautiously, dodging from trunk to trunk. Broken bits of glass and gnawed bones littered the ground. High in the trees, they could see cages woven from thorn bushes, plastic bags, and other refuse. Squash soda cans hung from the branches, clattering together like sinister wind chimes. 10 goblins sat around a fire, the blackened body of something that looked a lot like a cat turned on a stick. Every now and then, one of the goblins would lean over to lick the charred meat, and the goblin turning the spit would bark loudly. Then they would all start barking. Several of the goblins started to sing. Jared shuddered at the words.
Fiddle-roll, fiddle-rat, catch a dog, catch a cat, skin it raw, skin the fat, on the spit, turn like that, fiddle-roll, fiddle-rat.
Cars whizzed by, oblivious. Perhaps even their mother was driving past now, Jared thought. How many? Mallory whispered, hefting a heavy branch. 10, Jared answered. I don't see Simon. He must be in one of those cages. Are you sure? Mallory squinted in the direction of the goblins. Give me that thing. Not now, said Jared. They moved slowly through the trees, looking for a cage large enough to contain Simon. Ahead of them, something cried out, shrill and loud. They crept forward to the edge of the forest. An animal was lying alongside the road beyond the goblin camp. It was the size of a car, but curled up with a hawk's head and the body of a lion. Its flank was streaked with blood. What do you see? A griffin, said Jared. It's hurt. What's a griffin? It's kind of a bird, kind of a... Never mind, just stay away from it. Mallory sighed, moving deeper into the woods. There, she said. What about those? Jared looked up. Several of the high cages were larger, and he thought he could make out a human shape in one of them. Simon! I can climb up, Jared said. Mallory nodded. Be fast. Jared wedged his foot in a hollow of the bark, hefting himself up to the first split in the branches. Then, pulling himself higher, he started crawling along the bough that held the little cages. If he stood up on that limb, he would be looking into the cages that were hung higher. As he edged along, Jared could not help looking down. In the cages below, he could see squirrels, cats, and birds. Some were clawing and biting at the bars, while others were unmoving. A few contained just bones. They were all lined with leaves that looked suspiciously like poison ivy.
Hey, Dribblepuss, over here!
The voice surprised Jared so much he almost lost his grip on the branch. It had come from one of the large cages. Who's there? Jared whispered.
Hog squeal. Now how about opening that door?
Jared saw the frog face of another goblin, but this one had green cat's eyes. It was wearing clothes, and its teeth weren't glass or metal, but what looked like baby teeth. I don't think so, said Jared. You can rot in there. I'm not letting you out.
Don't be a cat whipper, Beetlehead. If I holler, those guys are going to make you into dessert.
I bet you yell all the time, Jared said. I bet they don't believe anything you say.
Hey, look!
Jared grabbed the edge of the cage and pulled it forward. Hogsqueal went quiet. Below, the goblins slapped one another and snatched pieces of cat meat, apparently unaware of the racket in the tree. Okay, okay, Jared said.
Good, let me out.
The goblin demanded. I have to find my brother. Tell me where he is, and then I'll let you out.
No way, Candy Butt. You must think I'm as dumb as a hat full of worms. You let me out or I scream again.
Jared, Simon's voice called from one of the cages farther down the branch. I'm over here. I'm coming, Jared called back, turning toward the sound.
You open this door or I scream,
the goblin threatened. Jared took a deep breath. You won't scream. If you scream, they'll catch me, and then no one's going to let you out. I'm getting my brother out first, but I'll be back for you. Jared edged farther down the branch. He was relieved that the goblin stayed silent. Simon was stuffed in a cage much too small for him. His legs were drawn up against his chest, and the toes of one foot stuck through the bars. His bare skin was scraped from the thorns that lined the cage. You okay? Jared asked, taking his pocket knife out and sawing at the knotted vines wrapped around Simon's prison. I'm fine. Simon's voice quavered just a little. Jared wanted to ask if Simon had found Tibbs, but he was afraid of the answer. I'm sorry, he said finally. I should have helped look for the cat. Well, that's okay, said Simon, squeezing out through the part of the door Jared managed to open. But I have to tell you that...
Turtlehead! Boy! Enough mouth! Let me out!
The goblin shouted. Come on, said Jared. I said I'd help him. Simon followed his twin back along the branch to Hogsqueal's cage. What's in there? A goblin, I think. A goblin? Simon exclaimed. Are you crazy?
I can spit in your eye!
Hogsqueal offered. Gross, said Simon. No thanks.
I will give you the sight, Jingle Brains. Here,
Hogsqueal said, taking a handkerchief from one of his pockets and spitting in it.
Rub this on your eyes.
Jared hesitated. Could he trust a goblin? But then Hogsqueal would be stuck in the cage forever if he did anything bad. Simon would never let the goblin out. He took off the eyepiece and wiped the dirty cloth over his eyes. It made them sting. Ugh, that's the most disgusting thing ever, said Simon. Jared blinked and looked over at the goblins sitting around their fire. He could see them without the stone. Simon, it works! Simon looked at the cloth skeptically, but rubbed his own eyes with goblin spit.
We had a deal, right? Let me out!
Hogsqueal demanded. Tell me what you're in there for first, said Jared. Giving them the handkerchief was nice, but it could still be a trick.
You're not very chicken-beak for a nibhead,
the goblin grumbled.
I'm in here for letting out one of the cats. See, I like cats, and not just because they're tasty, which they are, no mistake, but they got these eyes that are an awful lot like mine, and this one was real little, not much meat there, and she had this sweet little mule.
The goblin looked lost in his memory, then abruptly looked back at Jared.
So enough about that. Let me out.
And what about your teeth? Do you eat babies or what? Jared had not found the goblin story very reassuring.
What is this, an interrogation?
Hogsqueal groused. I'm letting you out already. Jared came closer and started to cut the complicated knots on the cage. But I want to know about your teeth.
Well, kids got this quaint idea of leaving teeth under their pillows, see?
You steal kids' teeth?
Come on, Dumbelina. Tell me you don't believe in the tooth fairy.
Jared fumbled for a few more moments, saying nothing. He had the last knot almost sawed through when the griffin started screeching. Four of the goblins circled it with pointed sticks. The animal couldn't seem to raise itself very far off the ground, but it could snap at the goblins if they got too close. Then the creature's hawk beak connected, scissoring off a goblin arm. The wounded goblin squealed while a second drove his stick into the griffin's back. The remaining goblins cheered. What are they doing? Jared whispered.
What does it look like?
Hogsqueal replied.
They're waiting for it to die.
They're killing him, Simon yelled. His eyes were wide, staring down at the gruesome spectacle. Jared realized that his brother was seeing all this for the first time. Suddenly, Simon grabbed a handful of leaves and sticks from the tree they were standing on and hurled them at the goblins below. Simon, stop it, Jared said. Leave him alone, you jerks, Simon shouted. Leave him alone! All of the goblins looked up at that moment, their eyes reflecting a ghostly pale white in the dark.